Good morning. Appreciate everyone being here this morning. Appreciate you participating in our singing like that. Appreciate Joe and Alex last week again getting us to turn to look at one another as we sing so that we can, as Ephesians says, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's a wonderful thing when we can do that because we remind each other of what God has done for us and what a great way to do that. If you had your Bibles open for the reading in 1 Peter chapter 2, you may want to turn there. We're going to be skipping around a lot in our New Testament this morning as we go through the lesson. We're going to be talking about the idea of God's calling, because we see that a lot in the Scriptures about God calling people. It talks about the call of God. It talks about those who have been called. And there are a lot of misconceptions that are out in the religious world in general about that idea. And so I want to look specifically about what it means, about what the call of God is, as we read about in the New Testament. And so we want to begin by looking at what is the agency of that call. Where does that call come from, and through what does God call us? And so if we begin by looking at the idea of the agency of the call, the first thing we want to recognize is that the call is from God. It is from God. It is God who calls us. And there are several different passages. We could look at a bunch of passages that talk about that or give us that idea, but I want to look at Romans 8. Again, keep your fingers in 1 Peter 2. We're going to go there in just a second. But in Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about God's call. And in a couple of verses that are real close together, familiar verses to us. In Romans 8, verse 28, Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Okay? God is doing the calling. And again in verse 30, "Moreover, whom He, God, predestined, these He, God, also called." So it is God who is doing the calling here. In chapter 11 of the book of Romans, it says in verse 29, "For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable." And we'll come back to that passage in just a few moments. And then again, as we said in 1 Peter chapter 2, where Will read for us this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His, God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." So we see that calling that we receive is from God. And Jesus made it clear that that's what would happen, that those who would come to God would be those who heard from God the Father. In John chapter 6, Jesus is being confronted by the Jews. Jesus had just said, "I am the bread of life which has come down from heaven." And the Jews are questioning, what is He talking about? What is He saying? Is this not Jesus, the Son of God? We know this guy. We know His parents. We know where He came from. How can He say, "I've come down from heaven"? And Jesus answered them by saying, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me." And so we see that call. Jesus doesn't say the word call here, but He says those who come to Me, come to Him, will be those who have heard from the Father. And notice that it's not simply a, "Hey, come on." But He says, those who have heard and learned, who have heard and learned. And so what is the agency through which God calls us? Well, again, the Bible teaches us it is through the gospel. Jesus says, those who have heard and learned from the Father. Those who have heard and learned. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says to those Christians in Thessalonica in verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when God calls us, He calls us through the gospel. Those who have heard and learned from the Father. It's not some miraculous calling. God doesn't appear to us in our sleep. God doesn't send an angel to us to call us. God doesn't call you one way and you another way and you a different way. The Bible teaches us here that God calls all of us through His gospel. Through the gospel of Christ. Because, as Paul said in Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of salvation. The power of God to salvation. And so the agency of that call that comes from God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we look at that calling from God, let's take a few moments to look at the nature of that call. The nature of the call from God. Go back with me to Romans chapter 8, a passage we read for just a few moments ago. Romans 8:28, again, he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." According to His purpose. And so this call, we read, is according to God's purpose. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul echoes this thought again. 2 Timothy 1, beginning of verse 8, Paul says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner." Paul was writing this letter from prison. "But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." On Wednesday evenings, we've been studying the book of Ephesians. And you'll remember from Ephesians chapter 3, it tells us that God had a plan long before the beginning of time to save us. That the things that He accomplished in Christ Jesus, those were part of His eternal plan for us. On Sunday mornings, we've been reading from the book of Genesis. And you can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, when man first sinned. And we see the curse that was on the serpent, and we see a hint then of that eternal purpose that God had when it tells us that Satan would bruise the seed of woman's head, but the seed of woman would crush Satan's head. God had a plan from before the beginning of time to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sin. And so this call that God has for us is according to His eternal purpose, the purpose He's had from before the beginning of time. It was always within God's purpose to send His Son to die for our sins. It was always within God's purpose to call us by the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was always within His purpose to save those who are in Christ Jesus. And so this call through the gospel is according to God's purpose. The second thing we learn about this call from the book of Romans, again, Romans chapter 9, is that this call is for everyone. This call is for everyone. Beginning in verse 22 of Romans chapter 9, he says, "What if God, wanting to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom He called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." And so here Paul makes the point clear that the calling was not for one specific group of people. The Jews understood themselves as God's people, and at some level, rightly so, because God had placed a special call on the nation of Israel. He had given specific promises to the nation of Israel, but as we studied in our Bible class this morning, the promise to Abraham was that all nations would be blessed through his seed. And when we look at the idea of nations in the day of the scripture, there were essentially two nations, right? There were the Jews, and then there were all other nations, Jew and Gentile. In fact, the word Gentile simply means nation. And so here Paul tells us that gospel, that call, was not for the Jews only, but also for the Gentiles. And so God's calling is for everyone. For everyone. And so what are the practical implications of that for us today? Well, first off, that means He called even you. He called even you. So don't sit in your seat and think, I'm too far gone. I'm too much of a sinner. God's not interested in me. He's interested only in those people who know how to act. He's interested in those people who have their life together. Jesus said, a doctor comes to see those who are sick, not those who are well. God's call is for everyone. And the second implication of that is when we start thinking about who we are going to teach the gospel to, if we truly believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and we are to take that gospel to the world, do we really show that with our actions? Most of the time, we look for people that look, think, act, and live a lot like we do before we teach them the gospel, right? We kind of pre-select out those that, they're not like we are, and their life's too messed up in sin, and they're too intellectual. They're not going to take this gospel thing, and they're not whatever it is. We start pre-selecting and we narrow down, and we go, now there's one person on the other side of town, and I can't get to them today. That we pre-select out everybody that needs the gospel. The gospel is for all. The gospel is for your next door neighbor, the person that lives across the street, the person you run into at Walmart. The gospel is for everybody. The third thing about the nature of this call from God is that it is irrevocable. We read this passage just a few moments ago to realize that calling was from God. Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Irrevocable. Now don't understand me, this does not say that we can't lose our position with God. It does not say that once I make a commitment to God, I can do whatever I want and I'll be okay. What this passage is saying is that the calling itself is irrevocable. God is never going to say, here's the calling, time's up, too late. God is never going to say, here's the call and here's how you come to me, and then go, wait a minute, I changed my mind, I've changed the plan, we're going to do something different. The word there from the Greek really has the idea of God is not going to repent or change His mind about the calling. It's irrevocable. God is not going to change that. God is not going to change the plan on us. And so we can be assured that the calling from God is always going to be there, and it's always going to be the same. Lastly, when we look at the nature of that call, as we read in 2 Timothy 1 earlier, it is a holy calling. It is a holy calling, a calling that is set apart, a calling that is different from any other calling. It is a calling from a holy God. And that calling is holy in its nature. Last thing we want to look at is, what is the destination of this calling? If we are being called, what are we being called unto? Where does this calling lead us? And the scriptures tell us several things about where this calling leads us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this is essentially still in the greeting of Paul's letter to those at Corinth. He says in verse 9, God is faithful. God is faithful. And that reminds us of the irrevocable nature of that call. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that first idea of destination, when we talk about the calling of God, is it is calling into the fellowship of Jesus. When we respond to the gospel call, we are then in Christ. We are in fellowship with Jesus. Well, what's the big deal about that? Well, if you're turning with me to 1 John chapter 1, John talks a lot about being in fellowship. That idea of having fellowship. And in the introduction to that letter, he talks about the things which we have seen and heard and shown among you. He says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That fellowship that we have when we are in Christ is with the Father and with the Son. And let's look at the importance of that. In verse 6, he says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from our sin. And so the real importance of that fellowship with Jesus Christ is that it is only when we are in that fellowship with Him that we have that cleansing blood, that we can have our sins washed away by the blood of that perfect Lamb that was given on our behalf. And so when we are called by God, we are called into fellowship with Jesus, we are called then into that state of being cleansed from our sins. And our sin is the number one problem we have. Our sin is what separates us from God. And unless we are in that fellowship, unless we are in Christ where the blood of the Lamb washes us, then we don't have any hope. And so that calling is into the fellowship of Jesus. It is also into His kingdom and His glory. Into His kingdom and His glory. In 1 Thessalonians 2, he says, Paul says, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and His glory. And so when we are called into Christ, we are called into that kingdom, that kingdom without borders. Jesus said, many would say to you, look, here's the kingdom there, or there it is over here. And Jesus said, no, the kingdom does not have borders. The kingdom of God is within you. And so when we are called, we're called into that kingdom and into His glory. The third destination was read for us in our scripture lesson this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2, that He called us out of darkness and into light. Out of darkness and into light. And this passage, again, has several implications for us. And one of those is that this calling is from one place to another. It's not a calling to simply add something to our life. It's not a calling to simply take on a new thing that we just make it form seamlessly into the life that we're living. But it is a calling from one place to another place. Again, we read in our study in our Bible class this morning where Abram was called to leave the land where he was and go someplace else. Pick up and leave your country and leave your family and go to a land where I'm going to show you. Now, Abram couldn't continue to stay in that land and be obedient to God. He had to leave everything that he had known, everything that he had, and go off into the unknown. He couldn't pull out his phone and pull up his Google Maps app and figure out where he was going. God simply said, go to a land where I'm going to show you. And so he had to leave where he was. And so if we're going to answer the call of the gospel, we have to leave the darkness of sin, the darkness of life in the flesh. We've been studying that in Ephesians on Wednesday nights. Paul, on several occasions in the book of Ephesians, talked about the horrible condition they were in before they were Christians. And it was darkness. And then, of course, when we look at the idea of leaving darkness and going to light, we're talking about polar opposites. Polar opposites. To leave darkness where you can't see anything. Have any of y'all ever gone into a cave where they've turned off the lights and you literally can't see your hand in front of your face. We've done that in Mammoth Cave, and there's some caves up near Springfield, Missouri, that you can go into these caves and they turn everything off, and literally you could do this and cannot see it. It's a creepy, weird feeling. But that's the life we live without Christ. And it doesn't take much light to turn on for you to go, oh, that darkness can't overcome that light. That light is the opposite of that darkness. And God has called us out of that darkness into His marvelous light. Fourthly, God has called us unto liberty. He has called us to liberty. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5 and verse 1, Paul says, "Stand there fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." And so Paul was referring especially to those Judaizing teachers who were saying that if you're going to come into Christ, you've got to go through the law of Moses. If you're a Gentile and you've never been subject to the law of Moses, you've got to come through the law of Moses. You need to be circumcised. You need to take on the law of Moses. And Paul's saying, why would you place that burden on someone that even you could not bear? Why would you do that? So in verse 13 he says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty." To liberty. Now he gives them a cautionary warning here. He says, now don't use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Just because you're no longer under the law of Moses doesn't mean you're free to live however you want to live. But he said instead, serve one another in love. But the gospel is a call to liberty. Freedom from sin. Freedom from law keeping. In other words, freedom from having to be justified by a perfect keeping of a law. When we're in fellowship with Christ, His blood cleanses us from that sin. And we are free then to serve Him and serve one another. Lastly, in Hebrews chapter 9, when we talk about that to which we are called, Hebrews chapter 9, I want to back up a few verses into verse 11 to give us a context here. The Hebrew writer says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once for all." Once for all. "Having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason He is the mediator of a new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." The promise of the eternal inheritance. When we answer the call of God, we now have that perfect sacrifice that has been made for us, that perfect mediator who mediates for us in heaven. And we have that hope now of an eternal inheritance. Last Sunday we talked about God as our Father, and one of the key implications of God being our Father, we are children of God, is that we stand to receive an inheritance from our Father. That we are co-heirs with Jesus. What an incredible thought. Jesus has already received that inheritance. And we have that hope of receiving that inheritance when we respond to the call of God. And so this morning, I ask you, have you responded to God's call? God's call is for everyone. There's no one that is too far gone. There's no one that God doesn't love enough to call you to spend eternity with Him in heaven. God has called you through His gospel. And so I ask you this morning, if you're not a Christian, why not? If you're not sure what you need to do, if you're not sure even what the gospel is about, come talk to us. We'll sit down and study it with you. Because we fully believe and understand what the Scriptures say, that we are called through His gospel. And the gospel is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And so if you're subject to God's calling this morning and need to answer, I encourage you to come forward as we stand to sing our hymn of encouragement.